Our message text is the gospel lesson for today. I would ask you to please stand out of reverence for the words of our Savior. Recorded in John chapter 10, beginning at verse 22, it's on page 1076. Again, page 1076. I'd ask you to get your pew Bibles out because I would want you to read along with me verses 27 and 28. I'm asking in the My Next Steps that perhaps you want to write these out, put them on a card or something, stick them to your refrigerator or your mirror as a reminder of the privilege that we have of listening to our Savior's voice. So John chapter 10, I'll read verses 22 through 26, and then I'd ask you to join with me in 27 and 28. Then came the festival of dedication. That's what we call Hanukkah today. Then came the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple courts walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews who were there gathered around him saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep." Now please join with me. "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand." And Jesus goes on, "My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. The voice. Today, if you just hear those two words and you watch any TV at all, you immediately go to a TV program, The Voice. And you hear some incredible voices on The Voice. But I would guess that none of the voices that you hear on The Voice are the most important voices for you to hear. Let me give you an example from my own life. When I was in high school, my oldest brother was serving overseas in the military. He couldn't come home, and at that time, overseas phone calls were incredibly expensive. So we got out our little cassette recorder and recorded a message to my brother. I didn't think too much of it until about 15 years later, when he pulls out the cassette. We're all gathered together for Christmas. Let's listen to this cassette again. Not exactly my favorite moment, because, you know, when you're a teenager talking to your older brothers, there's some things that you just don't want everybody else to see. So there's some snickering going on as we're listening to this tape, you know, and some red faces. And then all of a sudden, we all started to cry. Because we heard a familiar voice, a voice that we hadn't heard for years. It was my mom's voice. She had died probably 5 years ago. Hearing that familiar voice, that was the best Christmas gift that year. Today, it is our privilege to thank God for the familiar voices of moms and children, especially if God has granted you a marvelous relationship. But even more to thank God that there is another familiar voice that is even more precious to us than the voice of our moms. The familiar voice, voice of our Savior. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." His is a voice that is the voice of somebody who knows us. His is the voice of somebody who can protect us. My sheep hear my voice. I know that. Jesus knows us. Kind of like our moms know us. Our moms know our names, right? You know, when Jody and I were expecting children, you know, certainly I was involved in the giving of that child's name, but I mean, Jody was living and breathing this child 24/7. She was thinking about it a whole lot more than me. She knew that baby's name before the baby was born. I think that's probably true of most of them who've been privileged to be a mom. Think about our Savior's voice. You know, it's marvelous to hear somebody call us by name. How wonderful it is to know that that's true of our Savior, too. In Isaiah 43, God says, I have called you by name. You are mine. Our moms probably thought about our names from the moment we were just a twinkle in our mother's eye. But our Savior, he knows us. He knows our name, not from the moment of our conception, but before the creation of the world, when he chose us to be his own dear brothers and sisters. He calls you by name. He knows you personally. But then he also knows everything about us. Now again, you know, I would guess that all of us have lived through this, especially when we were teenagers. I appreciate that we've got some teenagers wearing gowns today. I joked with them as they came in that Pastor Keel and I feel better today because we're not the only ones in white dresses. First communion, God be praised. But it's about at that age in your life where very often moms love to watch you squirm. Because what do moms do? Moms tell stories. They tell stories about when you pulled your pants down when you shouldn't, or you lifted up your dress when you shouldn't, and you blush. You see, your moms don't just know your name, they know your shame too. And that's true of our Savior as well. In Psalm 139, there is this marvelous passage that says, you have searched me, Lord, and you know me. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. The Lord knows everything about us. The Good Shepherd knows our shame. Every word before we even speak it, he knows it. And I'll be honest, that's a frightening thought. Because this is what our Good Shepherd says about our words. In Matthew 12, he said, I tell you that people will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. The Good Shepherd knows your words before they even come out of your mouth. Have you spoken any careless word yet today? I would guarantee that if you haven't yet, you will, right? Because that's the way we are. And maybe they don't come out of our mouths, but we think them. We judge. We get angry. And every careless word that forms in our hearts, the Good Shepherd knows. He knows. Shame. And we can try to hide it. But that didn't work for our parents, Adam and Eve, when they hid in the garden. It won't work for us either, because he knows. But there's something about Psalm 139 that makes it very special. Not just that God knows us and he knows every word, he knows our reasons for shame. Who is it that knows us? He is the good shepherd. He is the Lord. In fact, in the Hebrew of Psalm 139, the very first word of the psalm is Lord in all caps, Yahweh, the Savior God. Who is it that knows your shame? Who is it that knows every word that comes out of your mouth and in your hearts? It's the God who loves you unconditionally. It is the God who knows not just your shame, but your reason for fame. You see, your reason for fame in your mom's eye is not something that you have done. You are famous in your mom's eye when you are born, not because of what you have done, but because what she did for you. You are incredibly famous in her eyes because she was willing to risk her life for you. She is willing to sacrifice for you. It's because of what she does for you that you are incredibly famous in her eyes. And that's true of our relationship with our Savior, too. You are famous in his eyes because he is the good shepherd who is willing to lay down his life for you. He knows. He knows your shame. And in fact, the more clearly we understand our reason for shame as we stand before God, the more we appreciate that he knows our fame. You know, that's why every Sunday we come and the very first thing is we come into God's presence. Is we in heart and soul, we kneel before our God and we say, we have blown it. We make a confession. We say, these are the things that I am ashamed of. I've failed to do things I should have done. I've done things that I shouldn't do. In fact, I am just by nature sinful. This is the way I'm wired. It's been another one of those weeks. And then, through the words of absolution, the good shepherd speaks to us and says, remember, I'm the one who laid down my life for you. You are famous in my eyes, not because of any great thing that you have done, but because of the great thing I have done for you. I've laid down my life. It is so marvelous to hear the familiar voice of the good God. What a comfort. He knows. He knows you by name. He knows everything about you. And he claims you as his own. But there's more in this passage. The passage goes on. Jesus says that not only do I know my sheep and they hear my voice, but I give them eternal life and no one can snatch them out of my hand. Now, there's something about that promise that God says no one can snatch them out of my hand. It implies danger. For example, let me just use my billfold. You know, if I make the claim, I don't think any of you can snatch this out of my hand. You go, well, of course not. You're about 25 feet away, you know. But when the Savior says, no one can snatch them out of my hand, what is he saying? He's saying, I know that there's a real danger that you can get snatched. Oh, you know, I'm sorry. I'm Andrew, I'm going to hold on to my billfold. Not that I don't trust you, but. You know, there's a danger that somebody's going to snatch you out of his hand. He's warning us in advance that we'll go through much tribulation. That's what the Revelation passage said, right? When John sees the saints dressed in white before the throne of God, he says, I don't know where they came from. And the angel, or the elder answers, these are they who have come out of the great tribulation. These are they who have come out of that place where they might be snatched out of the Savior's hand, where they are in great danger. And what's the greatest danger that you and I face? It's that you and I so often hear other familiar voices. I hear them all the time. I hear these familiar voices that say, you know, your real cause for fame is because you've done something that others will look up to you. I hear that voice that's so familiar to me, that says, you are a failure because you have not accomplished a task that was placed before you. You know, how often don't we feel just overwhelmed with a sense of despair because things aren't working out the way we think it they should? And I just hear this voice saying, see, it's all your fault. Jesus, no, it's good to snatch you out of my hand. Just keep listening to my voice. See, your claim to fame is not what great thing you have done this past year. Your claim to fame is that the Savior loved you and died for you. When the voice says, you've done things that can't possibly be forgiven, the shepherd's voice says, I know everything that you were going to do wrong this past week, and that's why I died for you. There is no surprise. When the voice inside our head say, nobody really cares about you, the good shepherd says, I know your name. I know you and claim you as the Good Shepherd warns us in advance that we are going to face dangers, great tribulation in this world. Don't be surprised. But this is all the more reason why we just want to listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd. To let his voice be the one that echoes in our minds and in our hearts, rather than these other familiar voices. Because not only does he want to protect us through the great tribulation, but he wants us to protect us to the great celebration. I know my sheep, and I give them eternal life. I love that last part of that Revelation passage where we're reminded we'll be before the throne of God and we'll serve him day and night in his temple, and never again will we hunger, never again will we thirst. The sun will not beat upon us nor any scorching heat, for the Lamb at the center of the throne will be our shepherd. He will lead us to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. He wants to lead us to that point of celebration. That's what the Old Testament lesson was really all about. God's Old Testament people had experienced the great tribulation of exile in Babylon. God's Old Testament people had to say, we are experiencing these troubles because of sinful decisions we have made in the past. And who of us doesn't have to say, you know what? A lot of the great tribulation that I'm going through right now is because of some sinful decisions I've made in the past. And maybe that familiar voice in your head is saying, see, it's all your fault and you can't be redeemed. But that vision in Ezekiel reminds us that even though the great tribulation we're going through may be caused by our sin, the good shepherd wants to protect us through this tribulation to bring us to the great celebration, and that uses the imagery of coming back into the promised land and enjoying perfect peace to just give us a little foretaste of the celebration that we're going to have before the throne of our good shepherd. When you're in the midst of the great tribulation, it is so important to remember that our God has this great celebration in store for us. In fact, that's one of the things that I think about as I think about my mom. My mom died suddenly, way too young. It's a constant reminder to me that that's the ultimate end for me too. A tomb, a grave. But I'm so thankful that my mom and my dad helped me to hear the shepherd's voice. That by bringing me to worship and Sunday school and praying with me and reading Bible lessons with me, they were taking me on a journey out to the empty tomb on Easter morning so that I could go on this journey from Jesus' empty tomb to someday enjoying seeing that my tomb is empty too. And that's my prayer for us. Whether we're moms or dads or grandmas or grandpas or uncles or aunts or friends, whatever relationship that you have with the people around you, that you listen to the Savior's voice so carefully that as people listen to you, they hear the shepherd's voice through you. That's what I think is happening in Psalm 23. I'd ask you to turn with me to Psalm 23, and let's read Psalm 23 together. Psalm 23 is on page 548. Now, in a way, this isn't the voice of the Good Shepherd. It's King David's voice. But as you read Psalm 23, and I think this is why it's become a favorite for so many of us, as you read Psalm 23, it is obvious King David heard the voice of the Good Shepherd. And because he listened to the voice of the Good Shepherd so carefully, we can hear the voice of the Good Shepherd through him. Let's read this psalm together, and as we do, let's pray, Lord, help us to hear your voice so that others hear your voice through us, like we hear the shepherd's voice through David. Let's read it together. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Truly your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God's people said, amen. Please stand. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.